Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter. I was going to reach out and grab hold of a message for this season, and I got pulled back here to Matthew 14. And so I believe that this belongs to somebody in here this morning. Obedience is not always what you want to do sometimes, right? Sometimes you'd rather do your own thing. I was all prepared. See, I thought several months ahead, and I was all prepared to tie into Christmas and wear a red sweater and be ready to go. And then the Lord started dealing with my heart that you needed this passage of Scripture. So in obedience, we will look at the 14th chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse. Let me read it all the way through. And then we will break it down a little bit. Verse number 22 says, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. I want to make a note here before we move on. We find Jesus repeating here what he had done earlier. If you remember back up in verse number, 13. It says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the town, and then he began to minister to them. If you remember what came before that, John the Baptist had been beheaded. Jesus didn't get that private time. He didn't get that time to get on the mountain with the Father. So even though stuff came, and good stuff, he ministered. He fed 5,000 men and women and children. That was good stuff. But when it was all over again, notice again it says, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. You know, when you're dealing with things, circumstances, you cannot always get off by yourself. But I think there's a lesson here from the Lord Jesus that you may have to go ahead, take care of business, do things that are necessary, but then as soon as you can, get off into the presence of the Lord, do business with the Father. And there's where the help comes from. Hallelujah. All right. After that, he dismissed them. He went up onto the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. Father in heaven, I believe that you have a word for us today. My greatest concern is that I will not get in your way. But may you speak to us. Holy Spirit, speak to us today. And may you be exalted, Lord Jesus. Exalted above everything, every circumstance, every storm, every struggle that may be going on in our lives. Be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have a simple question for you today out of this passage. What kind of Jesus do you believe in? What kind of Jesus do you believe in? Ralph Waldo Emerson, in his book Conduct of Life, under the heading of worship, said, "We are born believing. A man bears belief as a tree bears apples." You think about this for a moment, of how easy it is for a child to believe. We would even call them gullible. Because you can convince them of just about anything. It's kind of fun, actually, if you're of that nature. How many are of that nature? You know what I'm talking about then. You know, it's just kind of fun to get them to believe the absolutely impossible. You know, I mean, you take a child of about 2 or 3 years old to where they're just in that place of starting to gain understanding, and you can convince them that you can fly. I'm telling you, it's fun. If you've ever tried it, you need to try it, because it's fun. But then you start adding a few years onto them, and what happens? All of a sudden, they're ease, if you will, in believing begins to be swallowed up by knowledge and by questions. And it's so sad, really, when you think about how simply that child can believe, and yet how difficult it is as adults to believe. I believe that's the reason why Jesus said that we needed to come as children. It wasn't that he was wanting us to lose all the knowledge that we have or any of that, but he looks at them and he sees their ability to believe without questioning, that they would accept the things that he says. These children that are worshiping back in the back, when their teachers tell them that Jesus loves them, they realize it. They know Jesus loves them. When I tell you that Jesus loves you, then you start throwing a whole bunch of the garbage of life in around that, and all the questions that come up, well, if he really loves me, then why is this happening? I'm not sure. Does he really love me? I know he loves other people. I see them. They're blessed, but not me. Hello? Isn't that sad? Those kids, Jesus loves you. Oh, simplicity of belief. The pure and simple, unadulterated, uncomplicated belief that Jesus came into the world to love people. He came out of love. You hear me? He came out of love. For God so loved the world that he gave. Praise his name. What kind of Jesus do you believe in this morning? You know, I suppose if you kind of want the bottom line at the beginning here, I want you to realize that it's a simple thing. All of this book, everything that we're preaching, you know, we break down the individual pieces and we challenge you with different parts of the word and challenge you in your life with the Lord. But when it all comes down, it is that God loves us so much that he sent Jesus. Jesus loves us so much that he gave his life on a cross so that we could be set free. He loves us so much that he doesn't want us to be alone, so he sent his Holy Spirit to come and take residence within us, to guide us and to shape our lives and to make us more than we could be without him. Amen. He loves you so much this morning. You better help me with this sermon, would you? I want you to turn to the people on each side of you and let them know. Just say, Jesus loves you. Some of you will have to turn around because there's nobody on each side of you, but come on, church. Boy, if we could get ourselves back, church, to this simplicity of belief of the children. And when we reach out and take hold of a scripture and the Lord says, you know, he wants to provide for us. He said, hey, you know, don't worry. I want to provide for you. We would go, he wants to provide for me. Amen? When we're sick in body, we just go to him in the simplicity of belief. Hey, listen, if you want somebody powerful to pray for you, find one of our children. I kid you not. Find one of the kids that knows Jesus and believes the Word of God and ask them to pray for you. Why? Because in the simplicity, Jesus said that he was our healer, so they'll pray that kind of healing over your life. It, uncomplicated. Jesus said it, I believe it, that settles it, and all that good stuff. Let me tell you about what kind of Jesus is revealed in this passage. This isn't a complicated message, so don't look for complication. Just kind of reach out and grab a hold of this. Jesus is a water-walking Jesus. You know, when the Holy Spirit started laying this on my heart, I just kind of pushed back away from the desk and started thinking about this a minute. Notice, first of all, how matter-of-fact that Matthew is in saying this. Look what it says. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Now, if Bill McKee would have been writing this, I would have at least had an exclamation point. I know there's no, in the Greek, there's no punctuation and things, but I would have indicated in some way that this was a wow moment. You know, we often go down, and we'll talk about Peter here in just a moment, but we need to start just by talking about Jesus, because in a very matter-of-fact way, he is a water-walking Jesus. I mean, how many people do you know that can walk on water? Maybe I should ask it this way. Somebody lift up their hand if you know one person who can walk on water. I don't see anybody. I see no hands. So how many of you would agree with me? This was a pretty astounding thing that Jesus walked on the water. But it wasn't for him. He did not stand, it doesn't say, and Jesus stood on the shore contemplating of whether he would call back the boat or whether he would walk out to them on the water. Or maybe he would swim. I mean, he walked on the water. Okay, you better help me with this. Turn to the person next to you and say, Jesus walked on water. Okay, think about this with me. Noah spent 100 years building an ark to save his family and some animals so that he could float on top of the water. Moses and the Israelites walked through the Red Sea on dry land. What I'm saying is, Jesus in his power, he could have parted the Sea of Galilee and walked out to them on dry land. Joshua and the Israelites marched through the Jordan River Valley because the waters were stopped a great distance upriver from them, and they all walked through on dry land. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Elijah made an iron axe float by throwing a stick at it. But really, none of those compare to the man who walked on water. Jesus did. Why do we put our trust in him? Let me just give you one reason. He can walk on water. You know, that says to me that whatever the need may be in our life, you know, we read in this passage that he healed all their sick, that even touching the hem of his garment, just like the little lady that crawled in, these people would crawl in and just touch his clothes and virtue and power would go out of him and they would be healed. How could that be? It's because he is a powerful, powerful, powerful Lord and he is able. I don't know whether the Lord can fix this thing or not. He can walk on water. I don't know whether he can, he can walk on water. I don't know whether he can take care of my financial need. He can walk on water. Now, if you don't believe that that is spectacular, go out here to the lake. Get out of your car, go down to the bottom of the, you know, where the water and the sand meet one another, and then try to walk out on that water. If you need convincing that that is a spectacular event, that Jesus can walk on water, he transcended everything known to man. Now see, here's what I know. Whether by the prompting of the Holy Spirit or just through general knowledge, some of you cannot think about Jesus walking on water because you're thinking about the times that you prayed and the person wasn't healed, or you went through a circumstance and it wasn't taken care of, and so you're immediately going to that rather than thinking about Jesus. Church, you've got to realize that's our problem. I can prove it to you right from this scripture. Because see, he's not only a Jesus that walks on water, he's a Jesus who replaces fear with courage. Look at verse number 26. It says, well, verse number 25, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. That line right there can belong to every single one of us. Take courage, it is I. Or it can be translated, I am. Take courage, I am. Do not be afraid. I am what? I am able to walk on water for one thing. If you need something to visualize and get a picture of where Jesus is at and what Jesus is capable of, put him on the lake. Put him on the water. Walking across the storm. Walking above it all. Able to do exceeding and abundantly more than we could even ask or think. I believe we don't see the miraculous take place in our lives, church, because our belief has been so swallowed up by knowledge and confusion and struggle and difficulty that we just don't really believe that Jesus could walk on water. We're in the shape that Thomas was in when they told him that Jesus was alive.
The only way that I'll believe is if I can put my fingers into his nail prints and if I can thrust my hand into his side. What a shame. What a shame. Because the miraculous Jesus has come on the scene. And that next time when Jesus came into the room, walked in the room without opening the door, you know, and they're all standing there with their mouths hanging open. Again, they forgot he was a Jesus that could walk on water. And Jesus said to him, okay, Thomas, throw your hand into my side. Here are the nail prints. He said, greater are those who believe without seeing. Because why? Because that's what faith is, folks. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We need to believe that Jesus is the water walker, that Jesus is the one who speaks courage and replaces our fears. You know, it really doesn't take too much to be afraid. For even the toughest characters, things like darkness. You know, there's a level of darkness that causes fear in every person. Sudden noises. We've had things in our house over the years that have fallen or whatever. And, you know, it's the dad. Aunt Sharon, go get it, honey. No. I mean, you got to swing your legs over the side of the bed and wonder. What am I going to walk out into that house and find? Who am I going to find? What's going to be the next step here? I felt all the blood rush completely out of me. Just because a broom fell over. Just because a dish fell off the dish rack and down onto the floor. Just the potential of danger can set off our fears. We can even be fearful of things that might happen. As a matter of fact, that's the one that possesses more of us than any. We're not even certain that things will happen in the way that we're anticipating, and yet we will agonize in fear, waiting to see if they will happen. We become fearful of the unknown. We fear things that have no power to harm us. Someone said, fear is the consuming illness of our time. I couple that with a scripture when Jesus said, in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear. I believe that we're going to see an increase of fear as we come toward the end of the ages. My Jesus captures fear and replaces it with courage. Does your Jesus? What kind of Jesus do you believe in? Do you believe in a water-walking Jesus? Do you believe in a Jesus who can immediately step into our fears? Notice that. It says, Jesus immediately said to them, as soon as they acknowledged their fear to him, he stepped in and said, take courage. F.B. Meyer, the preacher, the author, wrote, God incarnate is the end of fear, and the heart that realizes that he is in the midst will be quiet in the middle of alarm. In other words, when you and I can get our Jesus bigger than our fear, his courage will be poured into us. That's what the scripture means when it says perfect love casts out fear. When his love and our love meet and we begin to trust him and realize who he is. He is able. That word
courage there in the original language means boldness, to be confident. Where does your courage come from? Do you realize that everybody believes in something? Atheists believe in something. Everybody believes in something. Problem is, too many people believe in themselves more than they believe in the Lord Jesus. Walked on water lately? Why not believe in the one who can walk on water? The one who can speak to your fears and say, take courage. I am. And release you from the fear. He said, but oh, but Pastor, I've been afraid and I prayed and it didn't happen. You know, sometimes we are more taken up by our activity of asking and of our ability and freedom in asking than we are relying upon the power of the one who can take our fear. Why do you think that Jesus said, learn of me? For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You see, as you learn about Jesus, this is what the Holy Spirit's wanting to impart today. Maybe just a simple phrase to say, Jesus can walk on water. When you are in your circumstance, when the devil is telling you, and he does, when he tells you, you can't get out of this. This is going to consume you. This is going to be greater than you can handle. You can speak this. Jesus walks on water. It's something you can visualize. It's something you can own. And then you can hear him say, take courage. I am. Don't be afraid. You see, sometimes you may need to get down on your knees. Jesus prayed the night through. Jesus prayed the night through because he wanted to walk in the will of the Father. There are times that we need to get on our faces. And it's not about pleading your cause, folks. It's about coming into his presence. It's about establishing that love relationship that you would have between you and the one who can walk on water, realizing that if I can just get a hold of the hem of his garment, there's power in this one who can walk on water. He said, well, how long do I have to stay there, Pastor? Well, it depends on how much you want his peace. You learn to stay there until you can get a hold of the hem of his garment. Because you see, it's actually about taking hold and pulling, if you will, allowing that surge of virtue. Those people that came and touched him, they came because they realized that he had the power. He's able. So if I can just get close enough to where I can touch his clothes, I can get some of that power in my circumstance. So the key for us is to get close enough to the water walker that his power flows into us. He does not want you to live your life in fear. I actually believe this morning that this message is directed to those who are being crippled by fear. You're struggling with fear. Whatever it might be about, whether it's about physical circumstance, whether it is about relationships, perhaps it's about finances, whatever it is, the Lord is desiring to speak into your life today that he is powerful, he is able, he loves you, and if you will allow him, he will speak courage into your life and remove the fear. He is a Jesus who replaces fear with courage. Oh, and then we move to another portion that is preached on a great deal, so I won't spend a terrible amount of time here. But look with me at verse number 28, because there's some good stuff here. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. It takes someone like Peter to make a request like that. I want you to notice something. The rest of the guys in the boat didn't go, "Me too." Even when Peter got the invitation to come, swung his legs over the side of the boat and stood up on the water for the first time, you don't read in this book where the rest of the guys go, "Hey, we got to do that." It takes certain kind of people to swing their legs over the side of the boat. I don't claim in any way, shape, or form to be Peter or John or any of them. But I've had the privilege of swinging my legs over the side of the boat several times in the last 42 years. And it's spectacular. When you see what God can do with you, if you will allow Him, it's incredible. I mean, it goes way beyond anything that this preacher and the foolishness of preaching can possibly. When Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water," I want you to realize this was a cry of possibility. It was a cry of potential. Peter had no way of knowing that Jesus was going to say, "Come." But he was willing. If Jesus could do it, if Jesus had the power to walk on the water, then maybe I can. Oh my goodness, church. I want you to know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still a water walker. He is still powerful. He is still awesome in the things that He can do. I don't care what disappointments that you have wrestled with in days gone by. You can leave them behind. What do you think Paul said? "Forgetting what is behind, I press on. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Press on. Be the one who says, "Lord, if it's you, let me get my legs over the side of the boat. Let's see what we can do together." Hallelujah! You see, I can't help but believe that the Lord wants to enable some of you to be able to walk on water. So what purpose would that have, Pastor? I'm speaking allegorically. I mean into situations and circumstances that you deem to be impossible, that everybody else deems to be impossible. Don't you know that when Peter took those steps on that water, that John and Andrew and Philip and Matthew and Bartholomew were sitting in the boat? And, you know, it was one thing. They were astonished when Jesus did it. But when they saw Peter, that they knew, this impetuous, crazy idiot of Peter, when they saw him begin to walk on water, don't you know that their chins dropped down to the bottom of the boat? They could not believe it. When Peter, uneducated fisherman, stood up on the day of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit, and spoke to a crowd of 3,000, well, 3,000 came to know the Lord. There may have been more than that. Some didn't receive Him. But 3,000 people came to know Jesus on that day. It was also Peter who, oh my goodness, was walking to the gate, through the gate, beautiful, in the time of prayer with John, side by side, they're walking in there. And a lame man that's been there every day from birth cries out to them, "Silver, silver, silver." And Peter! "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who walks on water, rise up and walk." And that man stood up onto his legs and went walking and leaping and praising God. And more people came to know the Lord because of his witness and testimony. Hallelujah!
What does God want to do with you? What kind of Jesus do you believe in?
Well, I believe He's going to take me to heaven one day. That's great.
But guess what? He would like to be able to empower you to do some things now, in your life now, that will absolutely astonish you.
Wow. I love George Mueller. How many are familiar with George Mueller? Quite a man. He started an orphanage back in 1839. Brought in several hundred kids. They raised them, raised a generation of kids. Never asked for money except to the Lord. Whenever they needed food, he got down and prayed. And the Lord brought them food. It was almost as though the ravens came and fed him like they did the prophet of old. But would feed that entire household. They wouldn't know where their next meal was going to come from. And he got down on his knees and prayed that the God of the impossible would do the impossible once again. And God would miraculously bring food in, money in, cared for all of these children, generation after generation after generation. Astounding. You see, I want you to realize he's still doing it today if people will let him. The only thing that shortens the arms of the Lord in doing powerful things is our faith. Now, I do not preach this to lay guilt upon you or to try to be the answers of the struggles that you have, but rather to preach to you the potential of knowing and living a life of faith. One that believes in a Jesus who can walk on water. One who believes that the Lord Jesus cares enough that he will say to you, come. When you say, Lord, let me see the impossible. Let me experience things and something that I cannot do myself. I don't know if... I'm not sure that he is the originator of this, but I know that it's attributed to him in a couple of different sources. But John Hagee said, attempt something so impossible that unless God is in it, it's doomed to failure. Are we willing to trust like that? It took a lot of trust for Peter to swing his legs over the side of the boat. Even after Jesus said, come. Come on, get out in the middle of the lake, in the midst of a storm, swing your legs over the side of the boat, and let go. Tell me it doesn't take a little bit of courage and a whole lot of faith. He had his eyes set upon Jesus. We talk about him sinking, and he did when he took his eyes off of Jesus. But hold on just a moment. He walked on water before he sank. I believe in this generation, in this day, we need a simplicity of faith that puts its trust in Jesus and Him alone as the one who walks on water, who is able to do the same thing in our lives. When He said, greater works than these will you do in my name, He means that when His power, the power of the Holy Spirit, is dwelling in us, that we could see miraculous things take place. I said that I have experienced this. You know, Sharon and I, we're following the challenges of the Holy Spirit and the opportunity of starting churches for our first 20 years. And, you know, you put ads in the newspaper. And rent a space, show up the first Sunday to see if anybody will arrive. The enemy likes to go, nobody will come. I'm sorry? Amen. Thank you. Yes. Amen. You know, it is amazing what God can do if we will give Him a chance. If we will allow Him. Yes, Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to sink. But can I tell you, immediately, look at your word, look at the Bible, immediately, Jesus reached out, took him by the hand, and they didn't swim back to the boat. They walked on the water back to the boat and climbed in. And when they were seated in that boat, the winds died down. Even the wind and the waves knew who was in charge that day. Can you imagine taking hold of the hand of Jesus and making that journey back to the boat? I don't think so much that Peter was concerned about the fact that he started to sink, that his shoes got a little wet, that his robe, bottom of his robe or whatever got a little bit of water on it. I don't think he was so concerned about that. I think he had to say, oh my goodness, what I'm doing, I'm walking with Jesus on the water. You see, I also know that experience where I've climbed out of the boat, doing the impossible, get my eyes off of Jesus and on all the storm that was going on and felt myself sinking. But I have learned to find that alone time again and get back into focus with Jesus. Maybe your faith has not brought about in your life what you would like to see. You've taken a chance on the Lord, or you felt like you've bargained on the Lord. You have stepped out of the boat believing in Him and it didn't work the way you thought it was. It's probably because you got your eyes off of Him and onto the storm. I want you to realize today that He's ready to take you by the hand, walk you in faith right back to a place of safety and to calm the storm. You see, not every storm in your life will be calmed, but He can enable you to walk on top of them. Or He can speak to the storm and bring it to a conclusion. I want to roll back the tape. It all begins in believing that Jesus can walk on water. What's your Jesus like this morning? Are you able to believe in Him with the simplicity of a child, or have you got it so complicated because of the things that you've not understood as life has worked its way? You know, I'm amazed at people who don't even know the Lord at how much they blame Him for. You know what I'm talking about. Why does God of love allow all these children to starve? I just couldn't believe in a God like that that would allow all this hurt and pain in this world. Ever hear somebody say that? Of course, they don't know the Bible. When God created all of this, it was perfect, it was good. There wasn't any sickness, there wasn't any sorrow, there wasn't any death. man made a decision to not follow God and ushered in a whole host of pain. The wages of sin is death. And folks, that's not just death of the body. It is death of everything. It's a wasting. Sin diminishes. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. If you're willing, He'll help you to become the master of the seas. The master over the waves of life. In this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, Jesus says, for I have overcome the world. I believe this passage right here is one of those where he was proving it. You know, give me a bad storm out there, a really horrible storm. And he goes walking right on the water. I mean, it had been one thing if he would have done it on a calm day. But he went right up, he went right across and step over the top of that wave. I have curiosity, come on. I wonder what that looked like. Did he hover over it? Was he right on the wave? What did it look like? I don't know, but I want to be there with him. Oh man, not me. If you don't want to walk on water, I feel sorry for you. Because it's there. To me, it is like the power of the Holy Spirit. If the Lord Jesus said that I want to fill you with the same Spirit that is in me, I want to fill you with that Spirit so that greater things than I do, you will do in my name. To me, that's a challenge. It's like, okay, Lord, I want that. I want every bit of the Spirit that you can put inside of me to enable me to do more than I could ever do myself. It's for you. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands here this morning because it's kind of not fair. Everybody will shoot their hand up. They want to be water walkers. And I know it's not that way in the boat. So I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I want you to deal with this in your heart. What kind of Jesus do you believe in? What kind of Jesus do you believe in? Is he the kind of Jesus that is able to take your fears? Is he the kind of Jesus that can say, come and allow you to walk on water with him? Is he the kind of Jesus who will immediately take hold of your hand when you're doubting, when you're struggling and in difficulty, and walk you back to the place of safety? I want you to know he's that kind of Jesus. Would you help me just one more time this morning with this message to turn to people next to you and say, Jesus can walk on water. Now, wait a minute. You need to finish it. And he can help you walk on water too. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for this passage of Scripture. It's a grand thing for us to walk in to this sacred time of the year where we're acknowledging the incarnation of Jesus and welcoming and celebrating with giving gifts to one another because Jesus came into this world. But oh God, don't let us miss out on the power of that relationship with you that you have promised us. When Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Oh, Lord, may it be a challenge for us to know that that is you saying to us, come, walk with me on the water. Overcome the storm. Relinquish all fear. Help us this morning to realize there's power if we'll only believe. all things are possible to him who believes. I pray this morning for this church family that there would be a courage that would begin to rise up as we reckon with the power that is in you, Lord Jesus. That courage would rise up within us to be the one who says, Lord Jesus, bid me come to you on the water. Let me see the miraculous. Let me touch the sick and see them whole. Let me, Lord Jesus, speak and see people come to you for eternity's sake. Let me see the miraculous, Lord. And those that are sitting here this morning and fear is gripping them, possessing them, may they hear your voice, Lord Jesus, to take courage. You are the I Am. And you are able this morning to relinquish them of all fear. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Church, would you come with me to this and just thank him this morning for being the Jesus who can walk on water. Thank him for being the Jesus who will invite us to come out of the boat. Walk with him. Thank you, Jesus. Help us, O Lord, as we go about this week. May this be a spectacular week. When your Spirit speaks to us to share our faith with someone, may we not look for courage within ourselves or the abilities within our personality, but may we turn to you and put our eyes upon you and then swing our legs over the boat. Begin to walk with you. Share with them our faith. May you be honored. May you be glorified in Jesus' name.